Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I want to ask you a question. You answer it just in your own heart and mind. This is the question. Somebody said to you, what is it like to be a Christian? What would be the first thing that you would say? Or they may put it another way. They may say, what would happen to me if I became a Christian? It may be this morning that somebody is asking that very question and you're here. I'm glad you've come. Maybe you are a little confused as to what a Christian is. I'm not surprised. There seem to be many Christianities today. Now, the purpose of the sermon this morning is twofold. First of all, to encourage those of you who struggle with the Christian life. And secondly, to awaken those of you who find it easy. Some people find Christianity very easy. They never seem to have any problem. I've never been one of them. Other people have many problems, and they don't understand themselves. And they see other people, and they seem to be getting on fine. And they read books, and they think, I was never like this. Now, what is it like to be a Christian? Your friend has come to you and put the question to you. And you are in the process of giving your answer. I hope you're not just sitting there looking at me and I'm the only one who's awake having to do any thinking. What's the kind of thing you are saying? Well, we come to our text this morning, and it's Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. What is it like to be a Christian? Well, now here is the Lord Jesus. And in 23, you'll notice that he said to them all. This is not just to a couple of people. This is to them all. And to us, everyone here this morning. What is it like to be a Christian? He said to them all, if any man will come after me or desire me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sometimes I wonder why there are so few Christians. And sometimes I wonder why there are so many. I wonder if there are so many because we have never understood the terms of discipleship. Today there's so much what we might call worldly Christianity. I don't know whether it's Christianity at all, but I do know that it's worldly. In other words, they weren't religious at one time, they weren't Christians at one time, but now they have become Christians. But nothing's changed. They still do the same things that they did before, and they still spend Sunday the way they did before. And they still neglect the Bible the way they did before, and they still go to worldly places the way they did before. But now they're Christians. And of course, some are taught that that's the way it is. Well, in the early part of Pilgrim's Progress, we've been hearing a little of it, I'm sure. You heard the story of Pliable. When a Christian first set out, a Pliable and Obstinate ran after him to bring him back. We can't have him doing a mad, crazy thing like this. We'll have to go and get him. We'll bring him back. So they went after him. And you remember that obstinate, he didn't get very far, neither did Pliable. Christian said he was still going on. And obstinate said, well, I'm going back, I leave you. Oh, says Pliable, I might give it a try. And he did. And he went along with Christian for a while. But you remember the story. The time was when he went back. Now, what do you think was one of the problems? Whether Bunyan actually meant this, I don't know. He doesn't say so. But what I notice is this, that as Pliable begins to go along with Christian, he says, now, what's all this celestial city about? What's all this pilgrim way about? Why are you making this journey? Tell me about it. What do you notice about what Christian said? And as I say, I don't know whether Bunyan did this deliberately. He doesn't say so. But Christian told him all the good, positive, happy things about the Christian life. He never told him anything about the difficulties, or the hardships, or the trials, or the struggles, or the temptations. He told him, this is a good life. You should come with me. And of course, Pliable went along. They hadn't gone too far when they both fell into the Slough of Despond. Hey, says Pliable, is this the life you told me about? I wasn't expecting this. There he was, daubed with mud. And he said, if I get out of this, I'll be back and you'll never see me again. He got out. He went back. He never saw him again. And sometimes we are told the positive, happy things about the Christian life. But we come to our text. And I don't read the word happy. And I don't read the word positive. But what I read is that Jesus said, if any man will come after me, if anyone, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There are many professedly churches and congregations today in our country that would never dream of dealing with such a text. The reason being, they will lose the people. What do we say then from this text? Well, first of all, this. Following Christ is a different calling. Following Christ is a different calling. If any man be in Christ, we are told in the letter to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Altogether different. One of the wonderful things about the Christianity of our Lord Jesus Christ is that it is different. Different from the world. Different from anything we were ever before. Different. Following Christ is a different calling. Today's Christianity is described as satisfying, comforting, rewarding, gratifying, and it's all those things. It's all those things. But according to the Lord Jesus and the text we have, it's also demanding, battling, fighting, wrestling, struggling, denying, and dying. Dying to self. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Well, of course, as soon as the Pliables, as soon as they hear about that, oh, they say, we never bargained for this. We're going back to what we had before. No, dear friends, this is what it means to be biblical. We take the words of Jesus. We don't go to the corner bookshop, Christian bookshop, and buy, you know, the exciting Christian life or whatever. We come to the words of Jesus because he has, obviously, the right way. He has the best way. If anyone comes after me, if anyone desires my way, and then Jesus tells us that it's different. He said to them all, I remember a man coming to our church some years ago at Dudley. He was 39 years of age. exhaler, heavy drinker. Oh, all those things that were deeply into the world. He said, my idea of bliss would be in the pub on a Friday night with my pockets full of money and coming out with my pockets empty. Bliss. His cousin was getting baptized. So he said to this fellow, would you come to my baptismal service? Well, he said, what would I need to do that for? Well, he said, you might just do it because you're kind. You know, you might just come and be kind to me. Well, he came. Oh, what a work God did in that man's life. But the thing that I want to tell you is this. He got wonderfully saved. He went out into full-time Christian service. But the thing was this. He said to me some while later, the thing that struck me when I came into church was this. This is different. This is different. But that's not the emphasis these days. The emphasis is, well, come and join us. We are just like you. We are no different to you. Well, if we're no different to them, what's the point of coming? They may as well stay as they are. We're no different to you. Jesus said, if any man desires me my way, this is what's involved. Coming after me. Denying yourself. Taking up the cross daily and following me. A lot of emphasis today, of course, on churches being user-friendly. Giving the people what they want, what they like, what they enjoy. So Christianity is a kind of alternative enjoyment. Imagine the Lord Jesus. And we say to him, now, Lord Jesus, is your church user-friendly? Well, he gives us the text. Is there anything user-friendly about this text? Anything user-friendly about it? This text, dear friends, is threatening. Threatening. It threatens to rob you of your self-will. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself? Deny himself. Oh, of course, our eyes are blind because of sin. We can't imagine that there's anything worse in this world than denying ourselves. We were born loving ourselves. And we live loving ourselves. Why? And some will die loving themselves. Deny himself? A man says, deny myself? I've never done that. I'm living so that I can satisfy self. Oh, says Jesus, there's something else. There's another way. It's different. This is why one of the words we use in becoming a Christian is converted. Changed. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that this following him was not only different, it is so different. Our Lord Jesus calls it being born all over again. Mind you, that's wonderful. A brand new start. Many, many people would love to have a brand new start. They look back over their lives and they see the things that have caused heartache and heartbreak. And they see the things that have caused them tears and sorrow. And how they wish they could begin again. But they won't begin again by coming to Christ. They won't have him. But this is what he says. You can begin again. You can be born again. This is different. I'm offering you something that is God-like, godly, different, precious. When the apostle wrote to the Thessalonians, he said to them, you turned to God from idols. You turned to God from idols. That was from living to please themselves to living to please God. This is one of the chief marks that somebody has become a Christian. It is your daily longing to put God first. First. Mr. Worldling, it's me first. Or my family first. The Christian says it's God first. God first. All the time. Is the Christian the same person but with a different name? Not at all. A Christian is someone who's different. He's got a different birth, a different nature, a different master, a different calling, a different outlook, a different lifestyle, a different hope, a different future, a different end, a different eternity. A different eternity. Oh, what it means to follow Christ. Maybe somebody here this morning, I'm speaking to believers this morning, but maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're not a Christian. I call you to Christ. I call you to God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to make them something different from being sinners. But being saved sinners, sanctified men and women. Oh, this makes a world of a difference. If you're a Christian, you'll be different. Different from your neighbors. You'll be different from work colleagues. You'll be different from relatives. You'll be different from those you meet in the shops. And what a difference. We had our neighbors into coffee a short while ago, next door neighbors. Nice people. Talk about the garden. They've got a lovely garden. They can talk about the weather. They can talk about holidays. But all so different. So empty. Oh, so empty. You try to talk to them about Christ, you might be talking about the man in the moon. They only live next door. Just next door. And there he is, there's George, he's out in the garden and he's got his spade and he's digging and I'm out in the garden and I've got my spade and I'm digging. And there's an eternity of difference. Different. Dear Christian friend, do you rejoice in this? God, by a marvelous work of his grace, has made you different. And you wonder at it. Well, we had a man in our prayer meeting at Dudley and I don't believe he ever prayed in public without saying, Lord, why me? Why, Lord, why did you save me? And Lord, he used to say, I know men and they were far better than me. When I was in the world, they were far better than me. But you saved me. God has he made you different? Praise him for it. Praise him every moment. Different, different. Different. Any man come after me? Different. But secondly, following Christ is not only a different calling. Following Christ is a demanding calling. Demanding calling. Do you find the Christian life hard? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It is hard. Why? You take the teaching of the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Ephesians, and he says, now you Christians, I'm going to tell you what it's going to mean to be a Christian. If you are going to be a proper Christian, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. Because there are the wiles of the devil. The devil's after you. Who are you? What's your name? The devil's after you. And you know, he's not only after people, but he succeeds. Succeeds? Do you know people and they profess Christ? Down they've gone. Down they've gone. Oh, yes. And he's after you too. And we've got to put on the whole armor of God because, you see, we've got two natures. A Christian, one of the differences about a Christian is that he's got two natures. Now, you may believe the old nature's dead. If you do, well, I won't argue with you, but I'll just say to you, I'm talking about what it is in a Christian that makes a Christian sin. I'm talking about that. And here we have now a new nature. It can't sin. The old nature was on the throne. When I was born, the old nature was on the throne of my heart. And I was brought up in a Christian home. But the old nature was on the throne of my heart. and I pleased myself, and I did what I liked, and I said what I liked. And then one day, God saved me. Oh, praise His holy name. God saved me. He made me new. And He gave me a new nature. A nature that wanted Him. A nature that loved Him. A nature that wanted to serve Him. A nature that wanted to go His way. A nature that wanted to be like Him. But the old nature was deeply resentful, and is to this day. The old nature used to be on the throne. Now it's been usurped. There's another nature on the throne, the new nature, a nature that Jesus Christ gave me when He saved me, and you too, if you're a Christian. And so there's this battle. The flesh, writes the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. And there's a fight going on in your life. There's a conflict going on. Because you see, self used to be on the throne, and self loved being on the throne. You know what it's like when you try to witness to an unsaved fellow? What does he say? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Self is on the throne. But now that you are a Christian, somebody is going to tell you what to do. Jesus Christ is going to tell you what to do. And He tells you that self must come off the throne. Sometimes the devil will say to you, you can't be a Christian because you find it so hard. You say to him, I'm told in the Bible that it is hard, and I expect it to be hard. Conflict every day, every day, every day. If any man desires me, if anyone wants to come after me, if anyone wants to be a Christian, says Jesus, let him deny himself. Whew. Deny self. If anyone tells me that's easy, if you can deny yourself and it's easy, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Well, I never found it so. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You young people, how good it is to see you here. And those of you who think you're young, it's good to see you as well. God bless you. Help you. How we need you in these days. How the Christian faith needs people just like you to stand, and having done all, to stand, demanding though it may be, cost what it may. I went to a place once to hear a preacher because this church was an offshoot from ours. And I wasn't down there as often as I felt I should be, so I went down one particular night, and I heard a man preach. And he said to us, my subject tonight is the easiest thing in the world. Well, having a lazy streak in me, I thought this is going to be good. The easiest thing in the world. He proceeded to tell us that the easiest thing in the world was to become a Christian. And he proved the point by saying, the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Well, that's the easiest thing in the world, according to him. Is that right now? Is that right? One day, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, the Lord Jesus had been teaching, and the disciples said to him, they said, who then can be saved? What did Jesus say? He said, it's impossible. What? He said, it's impossible. Oh, well, this man told me and kept on saying it for about 40 minutes. He kept on saying, it's the easiest thing in the world. Now come to Christ tonight. It's the easiest thing in the world. All you've got to do is believe. Fancy saying to a dead person, all you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do, man's get up, but he's dead. Well, it'll take something more than just talking to him. The disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible. That's how easy it is. It's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, which the preacher believes to mean that the hardest God rejecting, blaspheming man in the town may be saved if God will work. That's so encouraging. I love that. But we need to know. We need to know the demands of the Christian life. The demands of the Christian life. Well, becoming a Christian means that we follow this Christ and we deny self. When I was a boy at school, I used to, like most boys, I suppose, I used to do some fighting. I was a naughty boy, and you know what they did? I don't know whether they do it in these days, but you know, they'd get you down and pin you down, and then they'd say, submit. And if I got somebody down, which wasn't very often because they usually got me down, but if I got somebody down and I got them to say, submit, boy, that was wonderful. But if they got me down, do you submit? I can hear them now in the playground. Do you submit? It was the hardest thing in the world. You would do anything but submit. And that's the sinner. When God comes to you in the gospel, when he offers his son to you and says, Jesus Christ, my son, shed his blood on Calvary's cross so people like you could get saved, he says, will you submit to it? The Puritan John Owen said this: when Christ comes with his spiritual power to win a soul to himself, he can find no quiet landing place. He can set foot on no ground but what he must fight for and conquer, because we won't have him. Why, what do we say when he comes to us and we're on, say, we will not have this man to reign over us. I'm going to run my own life, thank you very much. But praise God, he comes and he conquers, and he puts us on his side. Not the free and easy, do what you like world, but the demanding, narrow road. You see, the other way, the worldly way, is the broad road. No, it's broad because it means you can do what you like. You can say what you like, and you can have what you like, and you can go where you like, and all the rest of it. But when you come to Christ, and you're on the narrow road, you can only do what he likes. But what he likes is best. He loves the law of God. He lives the law of God. And he calls us to live within the confines of the law of God. That's what a sinner is, somebody who's broken God's law. It's a wonderful thing, is God's law. I suppose before you came out this morning, I suppose you locked your door, your front door or your back door. Why? Why did you do that? Well, because you live among a crowd of sinners. If you leave your door open and they know it's open, boy, they'll be in. They will. If everybody kept God's law, there'd be no locks. No locks. I locked my car before I came in here, but even locking it, they may get it. God's law is wonderful. If God's law were kept, there'd be no locks on doors. There'd be no broken marriages. There'd be no children put here and there and all the rest of it because of the breakdown in the family situation. God's law is broken because man lives for self. If Christ calls us, Christ calls us. We have three sons and a daughter. One of our sons is a minister in Southeast London, and he's on the phone most weeks, tells me what he's going to preach about, and I tell him, and he says, oh, Dad, I wouldn't do it like that, I'd do it like this, you know. But he said to me the other week, he said, there's a man in our congregation, and he wants to be baptized. Oh, I said, good. No, he said, it's not good. I said, why not? Well, he said, he wants Jesus to be his Savior, but not his Lord. He wants a ticket for heaven, but he doesn't want to live for Christ on earth. Oh, we'd all like that, wouldn't we, as sinners? Just get a ticket for heaven, then you could live as you like, but Jesus said you don't. What's the text? And he said, said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. These are the terms. Well, it's a holy war, you know. Not a holy war in the sense that we're going to blow anybody up or that kind of holy war. We don't mean that. But it's a holy war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Real Christianity. But so often, we're not too interested in it. I wonder, are you a Christian here this morning and you're bored with this subject? You might be bored with me. Well, I'm not surprised at that. But are you bored with the subject? Would you prefer something else? These are the terms of discipleship as spelt out by our Master, God's Son. But some are not interested. When Alexander White, great preacher of another generation, he preached to a very large congregation of hundreds of people, and he said to them he was going to do a series on the Holy War, John Bunyan's book, The Holy War. And it's all down, and some of you will have read White's characters on the Holy War. They're absolutely brilliant studies. And he gave an introductory sermon to the series, and there were 3 points. Listen to the 3 points. The Holy War, the book. Point number one, he said to the people, many who come will not understand it at all. Okay? Number two, many of you will not like the Holy War. Point number three, very few of you will be any better as a result of what you hear. He was a realist. He didn't imagine he was going to walk up the pulpit steps and he was going to speak to the people and they were going to do everything that he said. Not so. We can profess to follow Christ and be living our own life. This is how demanding it is, dear friends. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Could that be your motto? Would you take that as your motto? Bringing into captivity every thought. How challenging, how demanding that is. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every glance, every word. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Let me give you one more point. Following Christ is a different calling and it's a demanding calling. Thirdly, following Christ is a divine calling because he says, if any man, woman, boy or girl, if anyone will come after Christianity, no. If anyone will come after me, I'm called to follow Christ. The world has its stars, football stars. There's little lads running around, sometimes little girls as well, and they've got a shirt on, and it says on the back, Beckham. And they dream of being like Beckham, you know? And you go into young people's bedrooms sometimes, and the walls are covered with their stars. Sometimes they've got a guitar, and I'd love to be able to play the guitar like that. And they want to follow me. They want to be like these people. And sometimes they pay a lot of money, and they go to pop concerts. And there they go, and they've got to travel a long distance and pay a lot of money. But they are followers of this particular group, and so they're there. My Christian friend, you're a follower of Christ. Follow me, he says. If anyone will come after me, what a wonderful thing, coming after Christ. And to find real life and real peace and real joy and real satisfaction and real holiness coming after Christ. It's a divine calling because this one that we're going after, he's the Son of the living God. He's an indwelling friend. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the righteous Lord. He loves righteousness. He's the Savior of the world. He died on the cross to save me from my filthy sins. What a Savior. What a Savior. Am I following him? Oh, how can I describe the privilege of following this one? He's also the altogether lovely one. The Bible so describes him as the altogether lovely one. We live, dear friends, in an altogether unlovely, dirty, God-hating world. But we're going after the altogether lovely one. Not surprising that you're different from your neighbors, from your fellow students. Well, not surprising. They're following other things and following other people. We are following the divine Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a coming again Christ. He's coming again. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved, will you remember that now? Christ is coming again. Are you ready? What will he say to you when he comes? He may say to you, did you ever hear the gospel? You'll have to say yes. Did you ever hear, were you told that you are a sinner? You'll have to say yes. Were you told that I would save you from your sins if you came to me and repented of your sins? You'll have to say yes. And then when he says to you, did you do anything about it? Well, you'll have to say no, won't you? I went my own way. I pleased self. Christian, are you not pleasing him? Are you living to please him? Struggling, striving the Christian life, going up the hill, difficulty, but you're going after him, this coming Christ. And he's the brightness of heaven. The brightness of heaven. And he promises heaven and home. Oh, what a promise. Dear Christian friends, I speak to you particularly this morning to remember the terms of discipleship. Tonight we'll speak particularly to the unsaved. You bring your unsaved friends. Bring them up this afternoon. Say, why not come tonight? I've got some strange fellow in the pulpit tonight. Come and hear him. Come and hear. See what he has to say. You never know. We were up in Stornoway in the Isle of Lewis. And there were three men there. They were the elders of the church. And one of the wives gave us a testimony. Oh, she said, every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I used to get a phone call. And it was from the other elder's wife. She wasn't an elder's wife then, but every Sunday afternoon she would phone up and say, are you coming tonight? I used to dread it, she said. I wasn't going, and I dreaded the phone call. I used to sit there, and it began to shake then. There it goes, there's the phone. I knew it was for me. Are you coming tonight? Then 1 week, are you coming tonight? I said, yes. She went, she got saved. God bless that young woman that made those phone calls. Every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Maybe you could ring somebody this afternoon. Are you coming tonight? You never know. We're told to sow beside all waters. You know not which will bring forth this or that. You never know. And you who are Christians, by the way, well, I see you tonight. It's surprising in these days. People following Christ. I don't know what they do Sunday night, but they're not in God's house. They're somewhere else. Well, I trust we'll all be here, following the Savior, seeking him with heart and soul and mind and strength. God bless you, dear friends. God bless you.